Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Chaf Gimel in Meseches Beitza. It is the 637th daf in Shas, Isru Chag Pesach in Artzenu HaKdosha. We're going to pick up, because we weren't able to learn all of Daf Chav Beis together, maybe we'll pick up a little bit in Daf Chav Beis, which is a Mishnah, about 15 lines from the bottom, about the halachos of using a fire to heat up fragrance that used to be used on Yom Tov in the homes, the halachos of doing that Yom Tov, as well as cleaning the floors on Yom Tov, as well as on the last day of Pesach, yesterday's daf, there was also a discussion of what meats could be eaten and what things are an inappropriate parallel to the Bsar Kochim of the Karban Pesach that we'll discuss on Daf Chav Gimel as well. Then we will go on to a new Mishnah about what you're allowed to do with your animal on Shabbos. Here there will be a switch, according to the opinion of Rashi, to Hilchos Shabbos. That will be in the Mishnah Chav Gimel, and the Gemara will analyze the different positions over there. Our daf will also make a couple of references to the sugya of Dover Shein and Meskavim, both in the beginning of the daf and the end of the daf, the famous machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Our perek, the second perek of Beitza, will round out discussing the halachos of Tumas Kalim, and that's how our perek will conclude. Let's Beis Hashem begin the Mishnah 15 lines from the bottom of Beis Amin Beis. Afu Oimer Shloisha Dvarim Lahakil. He also, this refers to Rebbe Gamliel, who we learned on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where he followed three stringencies of Beis Shammai in regards to Hilchos Yom Tov. Here we have three leniencies. Mechabdin Beis Hamitos. One is allowed to sweep an area that people eat. Also, a reference to Pesach over here, we know that we recline. My father told me that my great-grandfather used to recline on a bed. A hesabet was the expression that they used. They had a bed that they used to recline on. That, of course, goes back all the way to the time of the Mishnah. It's clear from the Mishnayos and Brachos that people used to recline during their meals on beds. So here, the Beis Hamitos does not mean a bedroom, but actually the dining room. You're allowed to sweep the floor. We're going to see that this is a big controversy, because in those days, the floors were made out of dirt. And according to the Chacham, it's going to be prohibited because you're making holes in the dirt. And you're also allowed to put frankincense on top of coals on Yom Tov, even though you're cooking the frankincense. But since the odor of the frankincense is enjoyed by people, it falls into the category of Ochel Nefesh, as we're going to see. The Gemara elaborates. And you're allowed to make a roast of a goat, which was a helmeted gedi. The word mikulas is a form of helmet, Rashi explains. And they would make the goat in the shape of a helmet by turning its legs into the animal. And Rashi says the intestines were put on the side, and this was done zecher lemikdash. V'chacham, most of the chachamim prohibited. The Gemara will elaborate on what is behind all three of these machlokis. And Amar Avasi machlokis ligomer. The chachamim, Rashi explains, only prohibited the using of the frankincense if you're using it to complete your utensils. In those days, when a garment was made, and even some utensils were made, there was a odorizer that was put below them through heat. That the Chacham prohibited. But for creating a positive odor on Yom Tov, that will be acceptable, again, by putting the frankincense under coals. And the reason why it's permissible, Rashi says, it's considered Ochel Nefesh. It seems that since the mugmar came at the end of the meal, that would be considered part of Ochel Nefesh. Nevertheless, we're going to see that the Tanoim debated whether it falls into the category of Shaveh L'chol Nefesh. This is how the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph describes the issue of the mugbar, that not everybody would use it at the end of the meal, and that might be a reason to prohibit it, even though it falls into the category of Ochel Nefesh. So it's considered Ochel Nefesh part of the meal, but maybe not something that's used shave lechol nefesh by all people, and Chazal say that that is a criterion as described there in Ksubis and here in places in Beitza. Meisive, says the Gemara, I'm going to ask you the following question on your suggestion that la'riach, everybody holds its mutter. Ei mechabdim beis hamitas biyomtiv. As we learned in the Mishnah, you can't broom the bedroom. In other words, sweep the bedroom. Shel beis Rabbi Gamliel mechamdid. But Rabbi Gamliel held that you can, as we learned in our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik, pamim harbe nichnasti achar abba lebeis Rabbi Gamliel. There were many times I went into the house of Rabbi Gamliel. V'lo yim mechabdim beis hamitas biyomtiv. And they didn't sweep over there. Rather, it was a different story, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik says by Rabbi Gamliel. Ela mechabdin oisem be'erev yomtiv. They would sweep on Erev Yomtiv, a parcel and sedinim. And then they put sheets over there to keep it clean. Lemachar kisharchim nechnastim misalkinis at sedinim. What happened was they left the sheets there to protect the ground so it wouldn't get dirty. V'nimtza habayis mischabim elav. And then the house ultimately was clean. In other words, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik's argument is that Rabbi Gamliel never permitted the house to be swept, however, on Yom Tov. However, people thought he did because they thought of this etza of keeping the floors clean. Amar lo, im kein af b'Shabbos mutar la'asos kein. If that would be so, so why is it reported Rabbi Gamliel allowed it on Yom Tov? According, if that was what happened, then the same thing should apply on Shabbos as well. As well, they had another debate. V'ei manichin es ha-mugbar b'Yom Tov. V'shal beis Rabbi Gamliel manichin. They didn't allow this odorizer to be used at the end of the meal, but Rabbi Gamliel allowed it. Amar Elazar Tzadik, nope, misread again. They did not leave it on Yom Tov. Ela mevi'in ardas ko'oy shel barzel. They would bring these utensils of steel, u'ma'ashen osam b'erev Yom Tov, and they stored it inside, and there the odors were maintained. U'pokik nikveim erev Yom Tov. And then they poked holes on Erev Yom Tov, and they stopped up the holes and then opened them up on Yom Tov itself. Another contraption. They said to Rabbi Elazar Tzadik, your presentation has the same problem as mentioned before. If that would be so, then it should be permissible to do it on Shabbos as well. Rather, what was the machlokis between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, Omer Ravasi, Machlokis La'riach. So the Gemara now has to change and say that Asi never said La'riach Divrei Kol is Mutter. Why? Because the Braisa that we just reported, which we quote in the Meisive, says that everybody disagreed, even some disagreed within Rabbi Gamliel, but every disagreed with the most lenient position of Rabbi Gamliel, that allowed lahariach, and they prohibited the chachamim, that is, lahariach as well. Hence, the Gemara says that Ravasi has to be restated, and that's what we just did. Four lines at the bottom, machlokis lahariach, avol gomer aser, to create the odor, the chacham would prohibit, and Rabbi Gamliel permit. But ligomer, to complete the utensils with the odorizer, that even Rabbi Gamliel held was aser. So now it's clear what is prohibited and what is not. We have an in-between case where the Gemara asks the following shaili. What would the halacha be in regards to smoking? Here we need Rashi's help. The Gemara is a little bit unclear. It's using an expression that was common in those days. But today, we don't know what it refers to. It means to smoke fruits. What would halacha be in regards to smoking fruits? Rav Yirmiya bar Abba amar Rav, asur, Shmuel amar mutter. Why is it asur according to Rav? Ravuna amar asur, mipnei shemichab, that ultimately he's being over on extinguishing. He's going to extinguish the fire. Amar Rav Nachman, v'nei mamar mipnei shemavir. What about the fact that he's lighting up the coals? Amar le tchilaso mechabah v'sofa mabir. The original part of the process is kibui. Mefarshim explained that because when he throws the besamim on top of the gacheles, so then it smothers some of the gacheles and puts it out. After a while, it then lights up the besamim. It's mevayer. It engulfs the besamim, the fire does, and that is going to be mavir. So that's what it means. Chilasa mechabev sofa mavir. Rabbi Yehuda, al gabei gachelas aser. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends on coals that are flammable. So then it's going to be absolutely aser, as we saw, both mechabe and mavir. Continuing on to al gabei cheres. But if you put it on hot clay that was heated up by a flame, and then you put the besamim on top of that after it's no longer on the flame, then mutter. Then it will be permissible. Rabbi Omer al gabei cheres nami aser. Why? And here Rabbi introduces an interesting isur on Yom Tov mishum de kamolid recha, because you are creating an odor. This is an isur of molid. This is an isur midrabanan, that if you create something new, then it resembles a malacha chadasha, Rashi explains. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvai, Schucha kosa ashiroi biyom atova aser. It's prohibited to turn over a cup of spices or frankincense on top of a garment in order that it should absorb that cell. Again, based on the same reason, my time mishum de kamolid recha. You're creating a new smell, and that's an iser de rabbanim. Asks the Gemara, umayishna memoyloi umereach boy vikoytmoy umereach boy. The Gemara later on is going to quote a brisa on daf lam gimel amid beis that if you put the wood of besam in between your fingers to cause a odor to emanate, it's going to be permissible. That's molulo. We had molim melilos earlier on Yud Beis Amid Beis. Or if you cut off the edge of a part of the spice, so of course the fragrance is stronger, that's permissible. Says the Gemara, Hasam recha mia isa vasufi hu de kamosif recha. Hacha ludi hu de kamolid recha. In the case of spices, mice, the smell, you're just making them sharper. You're not creating something new. Over here, you're creating a new smell. What is becoming new? You're giving the garment a new smell. You're creating a new smell. And that is the Yisr. Now the Gemara quotes a new opinion of Rava that disagrees with those who say that putting fruit on top of the gacheles is going to be problematic, which the Gemara called la'ashen, on the bottom of Chaf Beis on the Beis, Ma'u la'ashen. Rava is going to disagree with Rav, who prohibits, and is going to explain the rationale for Shmuel that permits. Rav Amar al-Gabi Gecheles Nami Mutter. It's even permissible to put the fruit on top of coals. Mil dahave abasar gumri. Just like the halacha is that you're allowed to roast meat, so too the halacha would be that you're allowed to roast fruit. This is also considered the heter of ochel nefesh. The Gemara now continues with another type of roasting. Darish Rav Gavia mi bei kosil. Rav Gavia from kosil darshan apischa de bei resh galusa. By the opening of the house of resh galusa, it seems that it was common to give a drasha over there. Ketura shari. He said ketura is permissible. What exactly is ketura? Amalei ameimar mai ketura. I ketura bidei maisa umanhu. If it's ketura biyode, that means that it's something that's done to tie together, that they would tie together something that would go on the hands or on the feet. The word ketura could also be, Rashi points out, likshor. So that was done in making gloves and socks, that was done as a maisa uma. That was something that was tied together, particularly by an artisan. And that would be aser on Yom Tov because of kosher. Ve'ila ashem. And if it means from Lashon Ketorah, like Ketores, to smoke, Aser, then that would be as well prohibited to do Tamekamechabe, because he's going to cause the charcoal to extinguish. As we mentioned before, that if you put the scents on top of the charcoal, it causes it to go out. Amalei Ravashi lo lema ashen. Really, it does mean to smoke it. But nevertheless, it's permissible. Mida dahavi abisra gumri. That this was one of the ways of roasting meat, and therefore it's permissible. Ikadami amaleya meimar maiktura iktura biyode maisumanu ila ashein aser de kamol de recha, as we spelled out before. Amar Ravashi, ano amrisen alei mishmei de gav rabba misen alei laolam la ashein. Like we mentioned before, it means to smoke the fruits. Umida dehavi abisri agumra. Just like when it comes to the meat, it's going to be acceptable because it's part of ochel nefesh. So too, when you do it to the fruits. V'osa gidim mukulas, we learn that the halacha is you're allowed, according to the Tanakama, according to Rebbe Gamliel, you're allowed to make a helmeted goat on Yom Tov. That means you're allowed to cook a goat which has its legs turned inside and its intestines were taken outside. Rashi told us on the Mishnah that was done as a zecher of the Karban Pesach. Tanya, Nevertheless, we learn the Chacham prohibited, and the Gemara gives us a story that backs this up. Rabbi Yosi Amar, Tudis Ish Romi, Hinigis B'nei Romi, Lechol Gedi Mikulis B'nei Psachim. As Rashi describes, Todus was a Chacham, and he instructed the Jews of Rome to eat the Gedi Mikulis. Shochule, the Chacham sent to him, Imalei Todus Ata, if not for the fact that you were Tuldus, Rashi says that he was a Chacham Gadol V'Nichbad. The Chassam Sofer says that means that he had two milos. Number one, he was well-versed. The other is he was well-respected, and he had important influence. So for that reason, he had protection as well. Gozranu Alecha Nidui. We would have put you in Nidui. Shatamachalos B'nei Yisrael Kachim B'chutz. Because you're causing Klal Yisrael to eat kachim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Gemara, well, this is after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Kachim salkadaitach ele'ema kein kachim. You're acting as if it's kachim because you're calling this as a intrinsic part of the night of Pesach, and that resembles then the carbon Pesach, and people are going to think, as Rashi explains, that you're sanctifying kachim b'chut, that you designate kachim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, they said that really the practice should be stopped, but because of his godless, both in Torah and his influence, they would not put him in Nidui. This concludes the Gemara in regards to Mugmar and Gedi Mikulis. We now begin a new Mishnah that continues with a similar type of theme of a leniency of a Tana. In the last instance, it was the leniencies of Rabbi Gamliel. Now we have the leniencies of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah on Hilchos Shabbos this time, and the Chacham's disagreement that prohibits. Says the Mishnah, Shosha Dvarim Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, halfway through Gimel Chav Gimel Mid Aleph, Matir. There were three things that Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah had permitted, with Chachamim Oisrim, and the Chacham prohibited. Parasa Yoitze Beritzua Shebein Karneha. Number one, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah allowed a cow to go out with a strap between its horns. Umikardin Es HaBehema B'Yomtif. And you're allowed to comb down the animal on Yom Tov. Rashi says, despite the fact that it was a comb that had metal thistles, and those things would cause scrapes on the back of the animal. We'll see in our Gemara why that was done. V'soch akin es ha-palpalim b'rechayim shalahen. And you're allowed to grind pepper on Yom Tov. So here, the first issue is the issue of Shabbos, and the other two is an issue on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, E mekardin es ha-behema b'Yom Tov v'nei sho'es ha-chabura. Rabbi Yehuda said as well that it's prohibited to comb down the animal because of the metal thistles that would cause a wound. Avol mekartzefin. But what you could do is use something that's called a kartzef, which is a wooden form of comb, not metal, and doesn't cause wounds. The Chacham said that both are prohibited, even the kartzef, which does not cause a wound, because once people get used to using the kartzef, they'll use the karid as well. Use the metal one as well. Says Gemara, are we going to say that Rabbi Lozab ben Azariah had one cow? This is a Gemara earlier in Maseches Shabbos as well. Mishnah seems to indicate that he allowed one cow walk out. On the other hand, we have a tradition that Rabbi Lozab ben Azariah was quite wealthy. Va'amar Rav Amri la'amar Rav Yudam Rav Tleis Arfi Agli Havi Ma'aser Rabbi Lozab ben Azariah Me'adrei. Kol Shasa V'Shasa. Every year, Ma'aser Behema was from 13,000 calves, which means that he had 130,000, because what came out was one-tenth. The Gemara explains, Tana lo shaloi haisa, he had many more, el shechinasai haisa, a very, very powerful musar. It was his neighbors, and we talk shalom michaba nikris al-shamay. Since he didn't tell his neighbor that it was asur, because the animal is carrying on Shabbos, it's considered as if his animal had done Malacha on Shabbos. The correct halacha, as our Gemara brings out, is that you're not allowed to put a strap on top of the animal. Whether it is being used to guard the animal, the Gemara in Shabbos bears out, as well as in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Hei Sif Yud Zayin, or whether it's there as a noi to adorn it, Since it is not necessary for the animal to have it on top of it, it's considered a masa, it's considered a burden as if the animal is carrying it. The reason you don't even need it to lead the animal is because normally, particularly a cow, we're talking about a cow in this case, walks in front of its master, and there's no reason for the master to hold on to a leash to direct the cow. Therefore, it is always prohibited lahalacha for a para to be yotze biritzua shebein karnel. We also learned in our Mishnah, the Cardinus Abehema Biyomtif, that you're allowed, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, to comb the animal on Yomtif. Yet, our Gemara raised objectors, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, who say that there is a problem of Chabura. Tan Rabban, Ezeu Karod Ve'ezu Kartzuf, Karod Ktanim, Karod is a small metal comb, Ve'osin Chabura, makes scratches. Kartzuf Gedolim, it has wooden teeth, Ve'ein Osin Chabura. Ve'gimel Machlokas Bedavar, and there are three different issues that get involved with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Heter and the rejection by the majority opinion. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Davar Shein Miskavin Aser. The reason Rabbi Yehuda prohibits is that even though your intention when you comb down the animal is not to make a chabura, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Davar Shein Miskavin is prohibited on Shabbos. Miu Karud Ktanim Va'osin Chabura, Kartzav Kedon Ve'in Osin Chabura. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's permissible when there are large ones that don't make a wound, even though it's not inevitable that wound will be made when it's metal. But since there's a distinct possibility, it's called Davar Shein Miskavin, Rabbi Yehuda's Davar Shein Miskavin is Chayif. However, if there's no distinct possibility, like the wooden large ones, then there's no problem. V'lo gazrin kartzef atu korud. And there was no gezeira made that the wooden one can't be used with the large thistles, lest you come to use the one with the small thistles. Rabbanan savri namik Rabbi Yehuda, Davar Shein Miskavin as Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbanan hold that even though it's not inevitable, but there's a good chance, even though it's not his intention, nevertheless, it's also because there's a distinct possibility that it will happen, even though it's not his intention. And the Gazrin Karsif Atu Karut. And they made Xera of the large ones Atu, lest you come to use the small ones. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah continues the Gemara on the bottom line, Chav Gimel Amid Al, Savar Lak Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah followed the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who we paskin like, Dover Shem Iskavim Mutter. That if it's not inevitable and it's only a possibility that might happen, and it's not his intention. His intention was to clean the back of the animal, not to create these scratches. So then it's mutter bein bekarud bein bekartzuf. It's permissible even with the metal one. Certainly the wooden one, the kartzuf, would also be permissible. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Amar Lo, Amar Rav Nachman lechudei halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. So this is an important Gemara because here the Gemara in Beitza Chav Gimel Amanal says that we paskin on the big machlokas when the action is not inevitably going to lead to a malacha and it's not the person's intention. That's called davar sheni miskavin. We follow Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Maideloi. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah conceded, in this case it means held, agreed with Rabbi Shimon. So that's the source that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon on Davar Shein Miskavin. Is that so simple? Asks the Amora Rava. Amalei Rava le Rav Nachman. Rava said to Rav Nachman, Lema mar halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. Why don't you say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Shrei Chacham Maidim Loi. The Chachamim follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. He says, I follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and I have a source for this. And not only do I think, says Rav Nachman, that it makes sense, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah also thought it makes sense, and therefore we follow the position of Rabbi Shimon. We now turn to Chav Gimel Amud Beis, Harei Chaim Shel Pilpulin Tameya. Now we have another set of halachas in regards to Tumah V'Tahara. We had learned that you're allowed to use a pepper grinder on Yom Tov, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. However, the Chachamim disagree. Tosvos on Daf Yudalid says that the reason is because it's Uvda Dechol. That's the way you grind during the week. Once we're on the topic of the grinder, the Mishnah on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Beis tells us other halachos in regards to grinding. Harechayim shel palpalin tmeya. The grinder of pepper is also a kli that contracts tuma. The rule of thumb is, we have a whole masecha in Taharis about maseches kelim. If something is a utensil, then it contracts tuma. Mishum shleisha kelim. It contracts tuma because of three different statuses of a utensil. It's three different types of kelim. Mishum kli kibul. Number one is, it has a clay kibul. The grinder has a receptacle to hold that which has been ground. Number two, mishum kli mateches. Number two, it is a metal utensil, and that's how it's made as a grinder. It's metal. Umishum klei kvara, and it's also a type of sifter. The Mefarshim explained that even if, let's say, the clay kibul part breaks, it'll still be a kli, because it could be used as a sifter or as a grinder. So it's a keli for these three reasons, and even if one of those reasons falls away, it still is a receptacle for tumah. Tana tachton mishum klei kibul, emtsos mishum klei kvara, elyona mishum klei mateches. So there are three parts to the grinder. The Osvaldar has a nice picture about it. One sits on top of each other, and number one, it is a on the bottom. It receives the material that's been ground. Number two is it sifts, and number three on top, the grinding component is the metal component. The Mishnah continues, 5 on top of Gimel Amud Beis, Agola Shel Katan Tmeim Medris, a wagon that was used for kids. In those days, kids used to go along a wagon that they used to play, and if you think about today, we have them. They're not as common as when my parents grew up, but a simple wagon that has a stick at the end that drags it. Today, they're often made red. Was no different, or it wasn't that different 2,000 years ago, whereas a simple wagon, four wheels and a box sitting on top of it where kids used to sit, and sometimes they were dragged along in that wagon. Tmeya Medris, then it accepts Tumas Medris. If the child is a Zav, so then in such a case, the wagon becomes an Ava Tuma. Now there are two different ways a utensil that a person sits on can contract Tuma, at least two ways. One of those ways is negia, touching it, and the other is medris. The Torah has a separate description of a tumah called medris. Medris means a person walks on it, sits on it, and the difference between tumas medris and tumas negia is tumas negia, it makes it a rishon tumah. However, tumas medris is a avatuma. So the chiddush over here of the Mishnah is Agol Shel Katan Tmeya Medris has a din of avatuma v'niteles b'Shabbos, and since as a status of a utensil, it could be moved on Shabbos. Ve'ena nigreres el al gabe kelim. But you have to be careful that not to drag it along the ground because it will make holes in it. This, of course, is the issue of choresh. Making a hole in the ground is like plowing, and therefore is nisud d'oraisa. B'yudam mekala kelim eini groin chutz min agola. Mipnei shehi koveshes. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't make a hole on the ground, and Rashi describes in the end of Dibar Maslam, Mipnei shehi koveshes, it doesn't remove the dirt from the ground, it just presses down on it, and that is not harisha. Harisha is when you dislodge the dirt from the ground. Says the Gemara, Agol shel katan tmei medris, da samachi lavei. Because the child leaves on it, v'nitals m'shabes, v'shum di'ikik toris kliyala. And the reason why you could take it on Shabbos is not considered muksa because it has the status of a kli. That's an important rule in Hilchos Muksa, in the rules of Tiltul Kalim, that it's prohibited to be metaltal something that is not a utensil on Shabbos. That's called muksa machmas gufo, if it has no purpose or identity. This already has a purpose, and therefore one is allowed to move it on Shabbos. Vein in Gveris al-Gabi Kalim can't be moved on top of utensils. Al-Gabi Kalim in, except on top of utensils, al-gabe karkalo, it can't be moved on the ground. We mentioned, according to the Tanna Kamma, the reason is because it's choresh. My time at the ka'avi choritz, because he's making a hole in the ground. Mani Reb Yehudi, this seems to follow according to the opinion of Reb Yehuda. Once again, we come back to the discussion of Dover Sheinu Miskavin. The Omar Dover Sheinu Miskavin Asur. Because when he's pulling the wagon along the ground, even though his intention is to move the wagon from point A to point B, and his intention is not to make a hole in the ground, that's called a Dover Sheinu Miskavin. Nevertheless, since it might happen, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though that's not your intention, nevertheless, it's prohibited to do. Di Rabbi Shimon, because if we be following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Amar Dover Sheinu Miskavin Mutter, he holds that if it's not your intention, it's permissible. The sign is, we learned in the Brice, Rabbi Shimon, Oimer, Gor, Adamita, Kisa, Visafsal, a person's allowed to drag a bed, a chair, a bench, on the ground, as long as intention is not to make a hole in the ground. The Gemara spells out in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Kuf Gimel, as well as in Sukkah, and other places in Shas, in Masechet Shas, a few places, that that's only if it's not inevitable that the hold is going to be made. If it's inevitable that the hold is going to be made, then it's like the case of Psik Resha. Okay, so our Mishnah at first glance seems to be following Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Davar Shein Miskaven is going to be Aser. Because otherwise, there should be no problem about moving the wagon on the ground, even if there is a distinct possibility that there will be a hole made on the ground. But the problem is the Sefer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Einah Kol Negrum Min HaShabbos B'Shabbos Chutz Min HaGola. But Rabbi Yehuda himself says that you can't drag most things, the Kisa, the Safsal, the Mita, those things that we delineated above. The Rabbi Shimon allows, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees because he holds Davar Shein Miskaven is Aser. However, the wagon, he says, permissible, Pneshi Kaveshes, because it only pushes the ground further in, but does not dislodge the earth. Shekoveshes in Avochritz Lo. That the reason it's permissible is because it doesn't make a hole in the ground by dislodging the ground. So it's a stira. The Reisha seems to be following Reb Yehuda that says that Dover Shein Miskaven is going to be Asur. Yet, Reb Yehuda himself, and therefore, you're not allowed to drag it on the ground, because you might make a hole. Yet, Reb Yehuda himself then goes on in the Mishnah and says that's not a problem, because it's not going to make a hole. Answers the Gemara, Avdi Trei Tanoiv Aliba de Reb Yehuda. There are two Tanoim who are arguing within the position of Reb Yehuda. There are two different positions within Reb Yehuda, whether it is permissible or not. And it sounds like it's a question of practically, what happens, as Rashi explains in the last Rashi before the next Perek, when one drags it on the ground, is that going to dislodge the earth or not? If it dislodges the earth, then Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's prohibited. However, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is following the Tana who says that it will not dislodge it, and therefore it will be permissible. At the end of the day, we have a machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether Davar Shein Miskaven is prohibited or not on Shabbos. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin that it is permissible. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Chof Gimel in Maseches Beitzah.